I want to share with you just a few thoughts on an important subject, an aspect of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, an important aspect of it, one that we would remember when we come to the Lord's Supper, and that is the subject of redemption. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, we find that word. Let me read once again and pick up just for the context of verse 23. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believed, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. When we come to the Lord's Supper, and again, just a few thoughts in preparation for coming. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we remember specifically the work of Christ, specifically that work he did for us on the cross. The Lord Jesus himself instituted the supper. It wasn't the invention of the church or the apostles. It was the Lord Jesus himself who gave it to his apostles, so to his church, on the very night in which he betrayed. This do in remembrance of me. And so we are to remember what Christ did for us that back there on the cross, what he did in order for our salvation. And one of the vital aspects of that glorious and, yes, effective work was our redemption. I say effective. Christ actually accomplished something on the cross. He didn't simply make salvation possible for an undetermined number of people. He effected salvation for his people. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, in him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And so I would say, and again, I'm giving some of these things to you in kind of outline form today. This would really be the point of that I would develop in a sermon further. But the true gospel is about the redemption of God's people, the church. That's what the gospel's about. The heart of the gospel is about redemption, specifically the redemption of God's people, the church. But many today have redefined that word redemption. We've seen it for years in liberal churches. It's been that way for a long time. And that redemption refers to other things. And it's a concern that I have that we are seeing some of this redefining of vital terms, vital gospel terms, that we are seeing some of this redefining spreading to evangelical and sad, yes, even reformed churches. People often speak of a redemption, and when they speak of a redemption, often in the church, they're talking about a redemption of this world. They speak of a redemption of society, or a redemption of culture, a redemption of social systems, or of economic structures, or even the environment. And I don't want to sound like an alarmist. I'm not going to go off in great lengths about that today. But amongst many, many young, quote-unquote, evangelicals today, there is this shifting away from this idea of a specific redemption for a particular people to this idea of a redeeming of culture and society and what have you. Now, this shift often brings with it a new understanding, then, of the meaning of redemption. And I just think we ought to be aware of that. As we come to the conclusion of the year, as we embark upon a new year, I think this is something that we ought to be aware of. So I would want us to remember on this last Lord's Day, the last Lord's Supper of the year 2017, that the redemption that the Bible speaks of is a redemption that is provided by Christ. To redeem, that word redeem is the language of the marketplace. I think you know what it means. It means to purchase. And in the Roman world of the Apostle Paul, it was a clear allusion, not just to the market in general, but it was an allusion to the slave market. And so it meant to pay the price that is required to free from bondage. That's what was packed into that word, redemption. When Paul uses it there in Romans chapter 3, this redemption that is in Christ Jesus, that's what's into that word. And in Romans 1 through 3, you'll remember, chapters 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul shows how by nature we are all in bondage. We are all in bondage to sin. A Jew, Gentile, it matters not. We are all sinners, and we all fall short of the glory of God. Sin was our master. That's Paul's point in those first three chapters. The universality of sin and the dominion of sin. Now, Christ paid the price to redeem us from this bondage. He freed us from being enslaved to the devil, so that we might willingly and cheerfully serve him. That's what he takes up in Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6. And the Bible teaches us over and again that the redeemed are a separated people. They're separated from sin, and they are also separated from the unrepentant world. Now, that doesn't mean they're out of the world. They are in the world. But they are separated from the world, marked out, as it were. And those who are redeemed praise God for this new life, and they praise God for this redemption. They sing a new song of praise to their Redeemer. I think that's the thrust, actually, of the whole of the book of Revelation. But we see that over and again. For instance, Revelation chapter 1, beginning there in verse 5, this word of praise, Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. And then we have this song of praise, Revelation chapter 5, beginning there in verse 9. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. And I think it's so important that when we think of this subject redemption, that we remember that the saved people are redeemed out of this world. It's not this world that Christ redeems. It's a separate people. How does Peter describe them? A peculiar people. And when he says peculiar, he doesn't mean strange, you know. He doesn't mean a bunch of oddballs. But he means a specific, a peculiar. This people, you who are strangers in the earth, you who are scattered, you who know affliction, but are loved by God, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. If Peter says, you are a peculiar people that are called out and separated from this ungodly world. So that's the first thing to remember about this wonderful word, redemption. For redemption is by Christ. And second, we need to remember that it was by his blood that Christ redeemed us. And again, this is so vital. You know, I try to listen carefully, and sometimes I listen to Christian radio and such, and I listen when people give testimonies. Do you do that? Do you listen to when they give testimonies? You know, it's shocking how little today you'll hear someone speak of the blood of Christ. Even in their testimonies, it's shocking how little how rare it is to hear somebody say, God has saved me. God has saved me by his sins because he shed his precious blood for me. And I'm washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so vital. For us to be redeemed, you see, God's justice had to be satisfied. When we talk about being saved, we're saved from something. We're saved from God himself. Isn't it interesting that God saves us, and he saves us from himself? His justice had to be satisfied. Isn't that what Paul goes on to say there in verse 25 of Romans 3? Whom God, that is Christ, put forward as a propitiation, a satisfactory atonement for sin, by his blood to be received by faith. It was because of our disobedience that we had become enslaved to sin and to Satan. We were at enmity with God. God who is holy and perfect and just. His justice had to be satisfied. So to deliver us from this bondage and to purchase for us the right to become children of God, as the apostle says there in John chapter 1, he came to his own received him not, but to as many as received him, he gave the right or the power to become the children of God. In order to do that, our Lord Jesus had to lay down his life. A price had to be paid. Indeed, a great price had to be paid for us to be redeemed. And as we mentioned this morning, I focused upon it for a while in the text from Hebrews chapter 12. That price was the perfect sacrifice offered to God by the Lamb that was slain, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, here's what we need to be aware of. Many who would claim to be biblical, evangelical, and sad to say, sometimes even Reformed today, are using the term redemption in a very different way. They speak very little about the redemption of the church and prefer to speak about a so-called redemption of the world. They speak about a redemptive work that the church has to do in the world. So it's not so much a redemption of people, but a redemption of social systems, of economic structures, of the environment today. You know, God wants to save social systems. God wants to save labor structures. God wants to save the healthcare system and the environment. Now, please don't misunderstand me. We are to be salt and light in the world. We are called to be salt and light in this world. But the mission, brethren, is the salvation of people. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the mission. We don't stand for a redemption, you see, that is outside of Christ. We don't stand for a redemption that does not involve a deliverance from the bondage of sin. And the so-called redemption of that many speak of today, this redemption of systems, of the economy, of environments, and so on, is a redemption that just, it doesn't require the blood of Christ, does it? It doesn't require the blood of Christ to redeem a culture, to redeem a system. I suppose you could redeem those things with perishable things, couldn't you? If you had enough perishable things, you could redeem those things with lots of silver and gold. But Peter says that's not how God's people are redeemed. That's not the gospel. The new way of defining redemption is attractive to many people. It's attractive to many unregenerate people. They're willing to sacrifice and willing to fight for that type of redemption, a march in protest to redeem this fallen world. And for all of that, they don't need a savior. They don't need an individual savior. You know, a group can come together. A movement can come working together. This whole redefining of terms like redemption, brethren, it's a trick of the devil, who is our adversary. And it is to move us from the only true gospel, the only true Savior, the only Redeemer of repentant sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know, listen, I'm your pastor, and I recognize that I'm preaching to the choir, I suppose, is one way to say it. I think we get these things and we understand these things, but we need to remember them. We need to be reminded of them. And when you are going out and seeking, as we said this morning, seeking to serve God in connection with church activity in your family or out doing your regular responsibilities, you need to be able to speak about these things biblically. And so we need to remember, when we come to the Lord's Supper, we are remembering what Christ did for us. And what did Christ do? He redeemed us. What did he redeemed my soul. My unworthy, pitiful, sinful soul. The wonder of the gospel, and I've said this so many times, the wonder of the gospel is that God justifies the ungodly. God doesn't justify the righteous. God justifies the ungodly. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said that he was chief sinner. Well, that's the gospel. And how does God save sinners? He saves sinners by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Christ shed his blood as a payment to satisfy the very justice of God. And we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Brethren, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And we need to remember that. Let us focus upon that, and let us remember that as we come now to the Lord's Supper.